Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? Well, I know you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. Today's diagnosis, a Mediterranean approach. Give me the fats, just the fats. That we shall die, we know. 'Tis but the time and the drawing days out that men stand upon. So wrote Shakespeare in Julius Caesar, Act 3. And indeed, the wheels of time move inexorably forward. They drag us onward, grinding our lives with the surety of a new sunrise. Yet it is a march of attrition, not the rapid explosion of a new birthing. Upon certain circumstance, there may seem to move so slowly as if to suspend belief in the passage of time at all, thus giving rise, if even for a brief moment, that is the eternity of our existence in our own mortality. It is within such periods of fancy that other fables take hold. An unproven statement becomes a recommendation. A recommendation becomes a guideline. A guideline becomes a meme. A meme becomes a fact. A fact becomes a commandment. And to question that commandment is to commit the sin of heresy. Eventually, as Shakespeare observed, we must all confront our own mortality. And as a society, there comes a time when we must critique the origins that motivate our behaviors, particularly when those behaviors appear to run counter to their original objective. Kusunoki Masahige, a 14th century samurai, observed that there will be a time when critics appear. The man without ability will complain about criticism. The man of ability will laugh. The inferior man will seek to silence all criticism. The superior man will be inspired to improve and overcome valid criticism. In January 2016, the United States Department of Health and Human Services, along with the Department of Agriculture, released the latest dietary guidelines. These guidelines continue to promulgate the mythos created over half a century ago that the wholesale limiting of dietary fat begets good health. Now, forging an unproven hypothesis that quantity mattered more than quality, the culpability for the incidence and prevalence of the disability and diseases that were manifesting as a result of the modern Western diet was laid at the feet of the consumers. It was said people consumed far too many calories and got fat. And when they got fat, they got obese. When they got obese, they got sick. Now, packing over twice the punch of either protein or carbohydrates, fat is nature's most energy-dense provision, 9 kcals per gram for fat versus about 4 kcals per gram for protein or carbohydrates. But for the regulators, the cause was crystal burger clear. What we ate was too much fat. Their belief was, in perfect iambic pentameter, that it is the fat, in fact, that makes us fat. And thusly we have crusaded for over half a century, and thusly we continue. Despite critical evidence to the contrary from such trials as the PREDIMED group that have clearly demonstrated that a Mediterranean approach to diet results in lower risk of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, strokes, and the other ills that plague consumers of the modern Western diet. That, despite the fact that the Mediterranean diet generally derives about 40% of its total energy from fat, more, once again, more than that seen in the modern Western diet. Now, a recent meta-analysis has examined 44 different studies of Mediterranean approach to diet and examined its effect on health outcomes. What is specifically unique in this analysis is that it only included those Mediterranean approaches that had no, I repeat, no restriction on fat intake. In other words, these studies prescribe the traditional Mediterranean approach of procuring high-quality goods based on their innate characteristics, not their calorie count. It eschews the traditional Western approach towards dietary health of eliminating fat, and many would argue taste, and counting calories. What they found in a saturated fat-laden nutshell is that such an approach significantly reduces the risk of cardiovascular events, certain cancers, and type 2 diabetes mellitus. Despite an ever-increasing pharmacologic armamentarium, advances in diagnostics and treatments, Such chronic inflammatory conditions continue to be the major source of morbidity and mortality in the industrialized Western countries like the United States. Globally, from 1990 to 2013, deaths due to cardiovascular disease and the prevalence of diabetes increased by more than 40%. That's 40, folks. Consumption of the modern Western diet is correlated with an increased incidence and prevalences of such diseases and certain types of cancer, including breast and colorectal cancer. While a specific definition is lacking, the modern Western diet is generally acknowledged to be energy dense and nutrient poor. It is high in certain types of saturated fats, sugar, and refined and processed foods. It exhibits an elevated omega-6 to omega-3 polyunsaturated fat ratio. In short, it is sweet meats and greasy treats. Yet, the Mediterranean diet likewise defies stringent classification. The term was coined by Ansel Keys in the 1960s after observing dietary patterns in the Mediterranean basin for several decades following World War II. His observations were primarily confined to Greece and in particular the island of Crete. Modern studies have expanded not only the observations but the inclusion of the cuisines of the 20-plus different countries that currently border the Mediterranean. Add to this the diverse cultures, geographies, and ethnicities within these countries, and it soon becomes readily apparent that there is no singular Mediterranean diet. What is apparent is that there is a consistent Mediterranean approach. There are factors and practices that are common to the more ancient traditional Mediterranean diets, as well as some of the modern practices, which often utilize non-traditional ingredients. One of the key observations is that no matter the original provenance of the comestible, what is highly valued is its freshness and quality. There is an appreciation of the terroir, as the French would say, that defines all real food, not just wine. Now, a partial checklist highlighting the Mediterranean approach would likely include the following 5 points. Impeccable sourcing. All the great chefs follow this pillar of the Mediterranean approach to cuisine. It means evaluating the value of your food in terms of quality first and quantity second. Ask yourself the following 5 simple questions for anything you're even thinking about eating. Is it fresh? Where did it come from? How is it grown or raised? Was it processed? And if so, how? What was added? Or, just as important, what was removed? Taste the rainbow. We're not talking about beast mode sugar supplements here. We're talking about fruit and veg. Although the exact amounts, types, and daily servings can vary significantly within the context of traditional or modern Mediterranean diets, the fact of the matter is the amounts and varieties are significantly more than that found in the modern Western diet, and they are definitely not deep fried to make snack chips. Olive oil. A common misconception is that you cannot enjoy anything crispy, golden brown, and delicious because there is minimal deep frying in the Mediterranean approach. Cooking with olive oil can certainly yield the textural treasures we've become accustomed to, and using a cold first press extra virgin olive oil as a condiment eliminates a major source of the omega-6 pro-inflammatory fats that pervade the modern Western diet. Plates and portions. With respect to the Mediterranean approach, eating should be like dating. Partake of what attracts you, sample lightly, frequently, and don't miss out on variety. Wining. Another often overlooked dietary staple across the many Mediterranean cultures, and indeed many cultures worldwide, is a moderate consumption of wine or its equivalent. Freedom from fat restriction, unshackling the chains of calorie counting, better health and superior flavor, and you get wine. Somebody, anyone, please tell me why we're not doing this. Oh, yeah, wait a second. There are great young chefs that have been doing this for over the last decade. Healthcare, please catch up. You know, food is our most important and yet forgotten medicine. And that's a diagnosis. You are listening to Co-Delicious with Dr. Mike on Radio MD.